our music week by week. We really appreciate it, as we appreciate everybody who takes part in our service. It's great to hear your voices reading, praying, singing, and so on. Music's a very powerful thing, isn't it? Song is a very powerful thing. And I'm sure you, like me, will have noticed, you know, how often secular songs could so easily, with a little bit of reorientation and refocusing, become songs of worship, adoration, or praise to God. And if you're of the same vintage as me, or maybe an even greater vintage, you may remember a man called William Harrison Withers. He was better known as the American singer-songwriter Bill Withers. And back in 1972, he had a hit with a song, and I'm going to share. And the song was called Lean On Me, and I'm going to share with you some of the words of that song. It starts off, "Sometimes in our lives, we all have pain, we all have sorrow. But if we are wise, we know there's always tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on." And later on, it goes on, "Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. You just might have a problem that I don't understand. We all need somebody to lean on." Isn't that the truth? Even the most fiercely independent of us, if you're like me and like to stroll on and do everything you can on your own, even the most independent-minded of us have to acknowledge sometimes in our lives that something crops up which we just can't cope with on our own. We need somebody to help, somebody to lean on. And that's particularly true for the Christian in the life of faith, isn't it? Except it's not sometimes. We constantly need a source of strength. We constantly need someone to lean on, someone to help. And there's wonderful news which was brought to King Asa. We're in the life of King Asa this morning in 2 Chronicles. And in chapter 16, verse 9, which Fee read to us, the prophet Hanani comes to remind King Asa of something. And he says to him, "The eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart that is completely towards him." Or reading it from the New King James Version, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Our God is a good God, isn't he? Jesus, he described his relationship with his people as a shepherd and sheep relationship. Not particularly flattering for us, that, because sheep aren't particularly clever animals. We all love sheep, don't we? Especially the little lambs. But they're not particularly bright animals. But Jesus describes his relation to us as the shepherd and sheep relationship. And if any of you have been involved or been observing the lambing season, and I know at least one of us, Pete, I think, has been involved in lambing this year, and maybe Duncan, and you'll know that during the lambing season, it's a very, very busy time for shepherds. And on the bigger farms with the big flocks and numbers of staff, they have a rota, and it's an around-the-clock shift. And they're constantly looking around the ewes to see if there are any which need help with their lambing. Constantly on the lookout. Well, our Lord is constantly, his eyes are running to and fro throughout the earth to see where help is needed, and help is needed by us all, spiritually, all the time. We need somebody to lean on, and we have the perfect person to lean on in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we're in the life of King Asa this morning, and we see, if we go back to chapter 14, and just in case you're wondering why we read two chapters this morning, well, let me tell you, the reason we read two was because I thought three might be a bit too much. But we're in the life of King Asa, which is covered in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of 2 Chronicles. And we read at the beginning of chapter 14 that Asa came to the throne, and in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa, he was a good guy. He did what was good and right, we read 14 verse 2, "in the eyes of the Lord his God." And he sought the Lord his God, we read back down in verse 7 of first chapter 14. And he was doing everything right. And then this problem occurred when the Ethiopian came with his army of 1 million men, and Asa made a great move. He called out to the Lord his God and found help. He cried out, we read in verse 11, to the Lord his God. And the Lord came and intervened on his behalf and delivered them. And then after that, we come into another period of peace in the life of King Asa. Period of peace, it seems, that may have gone on for 25 years. And during that time, it seems that King Asa is doing all the right things. He's making all the right moves. He had another visit from a prophet, Azariah, the son of Obed, at the beginning of chapter 15, who came to tell him, the Lord is with you while you're with him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Chapter 15, verse 2. And the people of Israel at that time under King Asa, they seem to be doing all the right things. We're going down through chapter 15. We read that he removed all the detestable idols. He repaired the altar of the Lord. He entered into a fresh covenant with the Lord, a covenant to seek the Lord their God with all their heart and soul. And then chapter 15, verse 16, he even removed his mother because she was worshipping detestable images. And at the end of chapter 15, we have it there. There was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And that's where we're picking up the story this morning. And my first point, really, and I borrowed it from no one less than our Prime Minister. The first point I want to bring to you, Christians this morning, is stay alert. That's the message we're getting on the coronavirus, isn't it? Stay alert, and it's a much criticized message. And I don't know if it's a good message for that situation or not, but it's definitely a good message for the Christian. Stay alert, particularly in times of peace and tranquility. It's quite easy, isn't it, really, to stay alert? I'm sure we've all been aware of the dangers that lay out there during the recent weeks and couple of months. And we've perhaps found it quite easy to stay alert, to stay our distance and to take great care. But in times of no danger, apparently no danger, times of tranquility, times of peace, times when everything seems to be going along fine, there are actually times of great danger for the Christian. See, Asa had this long period of peace, and he appeared on the surface of it to be making all the right moves, doing all the right things. But it's a time of danger. It's a time when complacency can come in. It's a time when we can get that false sense of self-sufficiency and self-security. And maybe it's such a time as this that James, in his letter, was thinking of when he starts off his letter with that, what initially seems to be a very strange instruction, doesn't it? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. But there was a reason, because it's in times of trials and times of obvious danger that we seek the Lord, and that produces a testing of our faith, which produces endurance. And endurance has its perfect result. So times of testing, times of trial are good for the Christian. They're good. Times of tranquility should be good. And there are times we look for, aren't they? And times we long for when we're in times of difficulty. But they're actually very dangerous times for us too. We need to stay alert in times of peace and when everything seems fine. So King Asa is going through this period of peace between the Ethiopian conflict and for the next perhaps 25 years. And then with the beginning of chapter 16, we read that a problem occurs. Something crops up, doesn't it? In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah and did not allow anyone to come in or go out to Asa, king of Judah. Well, how did King Asa react to this problem? Well, he reacted differently than he did when the Ethiopian army arrived on the horizon, didn't he? He acts differently. Peace. Something's changed in him during the period of peace. You see, his motives are still good in the action he takes. His motives are still good. We're in a situation where the people of God are into two kingdoms. We have the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah under King Asa. And people of Judah are, it seems, mostly still following the Lord, seeking after the Lord their God, whereas the people of Israel have turned further away. And the king of Israel is coming to block the road for those who are still faithful in Israel and want to come down to the temple at Jerusalem in Judah. He's blocked it, and he won't allow them through. But King Asa wants the pilgrims to come. He wants them to come to the temple at Jerusalem. His motives are still good. He wants to clear the way for those who want to worship to come to worship. His motives are good. But the problem is that he thinks that he can sort it out without God. Why? Why has that suddenly occurred? Why did he call out to God when the Ethiopian army arrived on the problem, on the horizon? Did he think that this new problem was a small problem compared with a million Ethiopians? We don't know. But we have no record of him turning to the Lord about this matter. Instead of which, he turns to the pagan king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. So for 25 years, Asa's been sailing along serenely, making all the right moves. On the surface of it, it appears through chapter 15, he's making all the right moves, seeking the Lord with all his heart, doing away with all the images and the idols, even to the extent of removing his own mother from her position because she was worshipping idols. He seems to be doing all the right things, but something's happening. Something's been happening. Has he been drifting? Has he been drifting? Periods of peace are like that, aren't they? We can go into automatic pilot. We can just drift along, doing automatically those things we've always done. As King Asa drifted into religion rather than relationship, why didn't he turn to the Lord his God with this problem? Well, maybe we've been through periods of peace and tranquility. I'm sure we have. As a nation, we've known peace, haven't we? Freedom from war. And we've known easy times. Freedom to worship, go about our business in any way we want has been so easy, so easy. But how do we use the periods of peace? Do we use them to build up our relationship with the Lord? Or do we drift? Or do we drift and just automatically do the things we've always done and drift from relationship into religious practice and relying on that? Maybe you were in that place before the coronavirus came along. You see, the question is, when we come from a period of peace into a period of trouble, where do we turn? Where do we turn? Where do you and I turn? It's easy to judge King Asa, isn't it? But where do you and I turn? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 121, he knew where his help came from. My help comes from the Lord, he said, who made heaven and earth. And the seer sent to King Asa, Hanani, he had a message from God, didn't he? The eyes of the Lord move about to and fro through all the earth so that he can be a strength for us. See, he's looking out for us. He's ready to be our strength. He's ready to be strong on behalf of us. God is our strength. But where do we turn to when trouble comes? Do we turn to him first? See, when trouble comes, there's usually his action to be taken, isn't there? Things to be done, things we must do. But there's an order, isn't there? We need to seek the Lord first and then take the action. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, left his disciples and went off to pray, came back and found them sleeping. What did he say to them? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Why did he want them to watch and pray? Well, he told them, unless they fall into temptation. So, see, we need to stay alert. We need to stay alert, watch and pray. Jesus might easily have said, stay alert and pray, lest you fall into temptation. See, slips can happen very suddenly, can't they? Slips, by their very nature, do happen very suddenly. You can be out in the winter, on the winter's ice, walking along fine, and then suddenly you're horizontal. One of the benefits of the lockdown has been that Jane and I have done perhaps more walking than we would even normally. And we're blessed to live in a place where we can walk from our house across two or three fields, and within 20 minutes or half an hour, we're on the riverbank. And it's lovely down there, especially for me being a keen fisherman. And we were down there one day. And as I say, I'm a keen fisherman, and I like to get as close to the water as I can. To see if I can see any sign of fish. I might come back with my rods later and see what can be done. But I was there the other day and getting close to the water, and I stepped on a patch of fresh mud where the water had recently receded from, and suddenly I was in the horizontal position, much to Jane's amusement, with my bottom in the mud and my feet suspended over the water. It happens in a flash when we're off our guard. And sometimes one slip leads to another, doesn't it? Have you ever had one of those kinds of slips where you start to slip and you almost half recover and then you stumble and you sort of go down in slow motion? And I think that's maybe the kind of slip up that King Asa has had here. You see, King Asa slipped up. He made a wrong decision. He sought help in the wrong place, didn't he? He turned to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. But that's not all, you see. When we turn to the Lord for our help, when we turn to the world, rather, for our help, rather than the Lord, one slip leads to another. It compounds itself. And not only did Asa look to the wrong person for his help, he also started to rob God of the things that belonged to him. Because we read, Asa, in chapter 16, verse 2, removed silver and gold from the storehouses of the Lord and the palace of the king and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. He bribed him with things which weren't his to give, things that had been dedicated to the Lord. Not only did he turn away from God to a pagan man for his help, he robbed God too of those things which were rightly his. And that's so often what happens in it. When we look to the world, when we put our trust in the world, we begin to rob God of those things that are rightfully his. Our worship, our monies, our time, our talents. One slip leads to another. So easy to drift into a slip and then be carried along by it and dragged further and further away. Stay alert, Christians. Stay alert, whether it be in times of trouble or times of peace and tranquility. Always remember and remind each other, God is our strength. He's our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. His eyes move to and fro throughout the whole earth to strengthen the heart that is completely towards him. Is your heart completely towards him this morning? Is it partly towards him? Is my heart completely towards the Lord? If our hearts are completely towards him, if they're completely loyal to him, then he is there to be our strength. Stay alert, especially in times of peace. My second point would be that we need to let the Lord pick our battles. See, Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, that we walk by faith, not by sight. King Asa here, he saw and dealt with the obvious problem that was in front of his eyes. And it seemed to succeed, didn't it? It seemed to succeed. Ben-Hadad got the job done. He cleared the road. What had been set out to achieve was achieved. But you know, when we go off in our own strength, you may see in the short term some apparent success. But it's not always what it seems. See, this, the eyes of the Lord who move to and fro throughout the whole earth. He can see everything. Everything at the same time. And everything in the future and the past. And how everything works together. Our vision, you know, even the most visionary of us, our vision is very limited, isn't it? Our eyesight is limited. We can only see what's around us. And even our understanding, even the cleverest of us and the most insightful, is very limited. Ben-Hadad, King Asa, saw a problem in front of his eyes and he dealt with it. But he missed the fact that God could see a bigger problem and God had a bigger plan. See, God's understanding is what we need, because his understanding, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, tells us, his understanding is unsearchable. Beyond our understanding. God knows the end from the beginning. You see, what's in front of us, it may be a problem, but it's not always the real problem. King Asa, by allowing himself to follow his own understanding, he missed this problem of Syria. The very people he turned to for help were actually his biggest threat. And were to be a thorn in his flesh for the rest of his years, because he didn't turn to God, who would have rid him of this problem. What's in front of us is not always the real problem. So So King Asa, by allowing himself to follow his own understanding, he missed the real problem and caused himself long-term difficulty. Christians, so often we learn from our mistakes, don't we? But we can also learn from other people's mistakes too. Let's learn from King Asa's mistake here. Let's seek the Lord's wisdom and insight into everything that occurs in our life, whether it's a huge problem or a small problem. And whether it really is a problem, we need to seek the Lord and his wisdom, because he's willing to give it to us, isn't he? James, again, in his letters, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. The wisdom from above, a perfect, pure wisdom, is what we need. And we can only get that by seeking God and asking him for it. See, our own wisdom might lead to apparent short-term gain, but it can lead to long-term problems. You know, it's remarkable how often we read through the life of David, he sought the Lord before going into battle. Should he take on this battle? The Lord's the man to ask. God sees the big picture. We need to seek him before we decide to take on a battle. Pick your battles carefully. In fact, don't pick your battles. Let the Lord pick them. And thirdly, and most importantly of all, the third point I think I want to bring to you here is how important it is that we're prepared to accept correction. See, the fact is, we all slip up. We all slip up in the Christian life. If you've been walking the life with the Lord for a number of years, you will surely know that. We all make mistakes. And the Lord will make mistakes known to us. He will let us know. He will, whether it be through sending someone to us to tell us or through the preaching of his word, the reword, the direct witness of the Spirit in our lives, but he will bring it to mind. And how we react to that correction has far-reaching consequences. How did King Asa react? Well, we read in verse 10 of chapter 16 that Asa was angry with the seer and placed him in the prison stocks, for he was enraged by his words. And he even oppressed some of the people during this time. He took it badly, didn't he? He took it badly. See, when we have faults brought to our attention in our lives, by whatever means it may be brought to light, we need to soften our hearts. We need to humble ourselves. See, often in the Old Testament, the people of Israel are described by God as hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Hard-hearted and stiff-necked. Now, that's not a good thing, is it? Stiff necks might be amusing to see someone with a stiff neck, but the trouble with a stiff neck is you have a job to turn, don't you? You can't turn. And to be driving along with a stiff neck can lead to an accident. And hardened hearts are a little bit like hardened arteries. They can be fatal too, can't they? It's a time to have to be willing to turn and to be soft-hearted and accept those things which the Lord brings to our attention. How do you react when the Lord brings to your mind and to your heart the attention of something which needs dealing with? Matt challenged us last week, didn't he? That, you know, how do we feel about the straight-talking Jesus who tells us it like it is? You know, we love the Jesus, the forgiving Jesus. We love the baby Jesus. We love the thought that Jesus overcame the grave. But when he tells us about ourselves, the way it is, how do we react? You know, God loves to restore a truly repentant backslider. We read in the prophet Joel's prophecy, chapter 2, verse 12. He says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness." And Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. "Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will not look upon you in anger. I am gracious, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity." The Lord loves to restore a backslider. He wants us to come to him in repentance and faith. We think of Peter. Peter, who despite all his boasting, denied his Lord three times. How did he react when he realized he'd done it? He wept bitterly. How do you and I react when we realize we've let the Lord down? Do we react with anger or with repentant sorrow? How do we react? So far-reaching consequences. Asa reacted badly, and it didn't go well with him. See, God's purpose is correction, not punishment. We read at the end of verse 9, you have acted foolishly in this, and from this point forward, you will have wars. Well, that's not punishment. That's an inevitable consequence of Asa's sin. You know, sin does have consequences in our lives. Things that we will have to deal with. But it's not punishment. It's not punishment. The Lord wants to restore us, not punish us. He sent his only son into this world to take the punishment which is due to you and I for all our sins. His purpose is restoration and correction. You know, we have correction centers in our society, don't we, today? It's just another word, really, for a prison, I think. And there's a dual purpose thing. It's partly punishment for the deeds they've done, and partly to restore them, their thinking, into a place where they can be restored as useful members of society. Well, God's correction is different. It simply is correction. It's not punishment. He himself has taken our punishment, but he wants to correct us and restore us. Don't be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. Stiff-necks can lead to a crash. And hard hearts, like arteries, can be fatal. When the Lord comes to you and reveals to you and to I that we've made a mistake, which we inevitably do, let's accept his correction. Let's accept it with weeping and with heavy hearts for our sin and return to him, because he's willing and ready to accept us back. Well, King Asa was a God-fearing man. Early in his reign, he recognized the problem, a problem he couldn't deal with and no one else could help him with. Problem of a million strong army and their iron chariots. And he called out to the Lord for help. And then he went through good years, prosperous years, and then another smaller problem appeared and he made a mistake. He turned to unbelieving man. You know, this in a sense is a picture to me in many ways of the Christian life. You know, that's when we first realize the scale of our sin, when the Lord reveals to us, first of all, just the problem we're in, dead in our sins, and that no one can help us for him, but him. We have to call out to him, don't we? And he delivers us from them. He's a wonderful God. And then, I don't know, you know, how long you've been a Christian, but I've been a Christian 25 years now, and I remember, you know, those early days well. We go off like a house on fire, and everything's great, isn't it, for a while. And then things began to calm down, and maybe we just going through a quiet period. And then suddenly a problem occurs, and we realize we haven't turned to the Lord. It can so easily happen to us. We need to turn back to the Lord. He's so gracious, he will accept us. Asa refused correction, and it didn't go well with him, did it? He hardened his heart, and when he had an illness later on in his reign, he didn't seek the Lord again. He seemed to have turned his trust over to man, and the prophet in verse 9 described him as foolish. Foolish. Paul described the Galatians as foolish too. They were like that, weren't they? They started off walking by faith, trusting in the grace of God, and then they drifted away into religion. Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, why have you done that?" Brothers and sisters, this morning, I want to urge you to stay alert. I don't know how you're doing through this time of lockdown, through this pandemic, whether you've had to turn to the Lord in a new way, and that'll be wonderful if you have, or whether you're thinking, "I'm just drifting along, I'm fine, I'm doing okay, I'm quite enjoying staying at home and joining the Skype, the Zoom services," and maybe you're just drifting. Stay alert. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation, lest you drift away from relationship with the Lord, into religion, trusting on the doing the things you've always done, thinking that you're doing the right things. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Faith in the Son of God. We walk in a relationship. We need to turn to the Lord for all things. We need to take action too. But first, the Lord, when a problem comes, turn first to Him, and He will direct our paths and our actions. I'm going to pray now, and then Phil will open up the mics. Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning, Lord, that your eyes are moving to and fro through the whole earth. Lord, that you might be strength for those whose hearts are wholly given to you. Lord, may we be among those people this morning. Lord, would you protect us from drift? Protect us from complacency. Protect us from self-sufficiency. Protect us, Lord, from thinking that we can find our help in man. Help us, Lord, always to turn to you first in all things. Lord, help us to seek you, to choose which battles we fight. Lord, to seek you, to reveal to us the real problems in our lives, which are not always the ones that are obvious in front of us. And Lord, give us soft hearts for those times when we slip and when we let you down. Lord, that we might accept your correction gladly and return to you. Lord, thank you for difficult times. Lord, when we have to turn to you. Lord, we do pray that in this coming week, that you indeed would be our refuge and strength, that we would lift our eyes to you. Lord, that our help might come from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. So, Lord, be with us through this coming week, and bless us, strengthen us, and enable us, Lord, to live for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.